All right. Welcome to the show. We started over because Catherine burped into the microphone.
Which I didn't think was so bad.
But you like were like regurgitating something. You were like baby birding.
No.
Yeah, you like a little bit of Indian food spittle came out and touched the wind guard. And it was absorbed.
Wind
and
guard.
That's why your microphone smells like food.
Doesn't Windguard sound like some place where like Thor's family is from? We're from Windguard. And my cousin is traveling from Scotchgard.
Scotchgard? Is that a tape?
It's like I think you spray it on like a I don't know. Shit. It's water resistant. I don't know. Okay.
Oh. Okay.
Yeah, you sprayed on like Uggs, I think.
Did you have Uggs when you were coming up, when you were growing up, when you were a young lad?
Yeah, unfortunately for my street cred, I was just, you know, your run-of-the-mill, very basic, whatever was popular, that's what I wanted.
Awful time for fashion. Because I just watched that Lou Pearlman documentary on YouTube, and just looking at all those guys, the double earrings, the bleached hair, the giant shirts.
Like parachute pants and shit?
Yeah.
Those like orange, yeah.
I guess it's kind of coming back a little bit with like Billie Eilish and shit.
Yeah. Yeah, it looks stupid. Honestly.
Billie Eilish turned 18 today.
I'm not high-fiving you, freak.
Come on.
No, ew.
We can finally get a peek at that body, you know?
Get away from me.
She doesn't have to
me.
Wear those billowy to hide those
Stop
big old knockers.
Stop.
This is the type of stuff you can say now. You can sexualize her.
No, leave her alone, you freaks, all of you. Every last one of you.
I actually didn't see a lot of that on Twitter. I expected to click on that. That was in the news section, like she turns 18.
Oh,
I expected
so
to click on
one.
It and it to be all kinds of
turns out it's
creepy
just
stuff.
You that's the pervert.
Well, I come from a different time. I remember when we were counting down the days to the Olsen twins turned 18 for some reason.
I remember that. I think the Olsen twins were hot when they were like 17, 18.
Yeah.
And then they turned into ghouls. I don't know what happened.
No, they've always looked like ghouls.
No.
They
just forget. You've seen their...
They're grays.
They're ghoulish face.
They're alien grays.
No. We're just so used to seeing them like this now. But there was a time during, like, what was it called? So Little Time, I think. Whatever their last sitcom was when they were in high school. They were pretty.
What was the New York one?
New York
Adventure.
Oh, the movie?
It was a movie.
New York Minute?
Yeah.
Probably.
That was the one where they're supposed to be peak hotness, right?
No, they were probably like 12 in that.
Aren't they like
Island in the
trillionaires
Sun?
Or something?
Yeah, yeah.
They own slaves, I heard.
No, do they?
Which one killed Heath Ledger?
I think it was Ashley. I don't know.
Okay.
Both of them with their minds.
Yeah. They banished him to a cornfield.
Anyway, they were hot for a second, I swear.
Sure, I don't know.
Swear.
I don't remember. What do they do now? Fashion?
Yeah, they do fashion, probably.
Yeah. What is doing fashion?
I don't know. You
walking,
just get rich
and
picking
turning,
out fabrics.
Wearing clothes.
Putting money in certain places and putting your name on purses.
That's cool. We should do that. And then you become a billionaire.
Okay, we'll just put our name on purses and then we become billionaires. Okay.
Well, you know why we could never do that?
Why?
Because we have a podcast and we're having conversations and opinions and stuff.
Yeah.
To do that stuff, you have to be this like distant, far away. Like only time you hear from this person is when they're, you know, hawking something on Instagram. And even then, it's only like 30 seconds. It's a lot of mirror selfies. You can't talk. As soon as you start talking, you lose the mystique of coolness.
I know, and that's a real shame. We were just having this conversation a minute ago, but just to reiterate for the fans, somebody who's really bummed me out by opening their mouth in like the last year or so is Idris Elba.
Yeah.
What the fuck? Don't you think if he just kept his mouth shut, he would be like the hottest, coolest, most mysterious person if you didn't know anything about him?
I don't know.
He was very like tight-lipped.
I don't really agree with that because the roles he takes. Oh. We were all like, oh, this is the next leading man. This is like this guy will be cast in Scorsese movies and whatever else because he's so handsome and I don't know, like grabs your attention. Yeah. But then he's like in a Fast and the Furious spinoff and then he's in Cats. It's like, oh, you're dumb. You're a dumb guy. You're a DJ on the side.
Yeah, he's a fucking dork. Hot people shouldn't open their mouths. I decree it.
Fine, I'll be quiet. Asked me to be quiet.
I have asked you to be quiet and you didn't listen, so I have to decree it now. But I had something important to say.
Should say it.
I don't remember.
This is the time to say it while we're recording.
Yeah, no,
we could say how we started a Patreon.
Oh, yeah, we could say it. We could say that we did that.
We started a Patreon. If you don't know what Patreon is, it's kind of like GoFundMe-esque, but it's for people who create stuff. So you can go to our Patreon at patreon.com/suicidepact, and then you can subscribe by giving us between $5,000 and $10,000 a month.
Let's explain the tiers here. So $5 means you like us and maybe you want to hear some bonus content.
Yeah, we're going to try to put out bonus episodes. Not try. We will put out bonus episodes once a month. So if you're a patron, you get an extra episode once a month. I'd like to, you know, start increasing that gradually. Hopefully at some point we get to once a week for people.
If we can.
I mean, eventually.
Yeah.
Also, with that $5, we'll do make like sketches and do live streams and shit like that.
Feet pics or something.
No feet pics.
$10 is the pedophile tier. And what that does is that helps fight pedophilia in America. So if you care about ending pedophilia, you will subscribe to the pedophile tier. $10 a month.
No, not pedophile tier.
Yeah.
Oh, is it called?
We named
pedophile
it pedophile. We really should have named it not a pedophile.
Yeah, not.
But
spend. Oh, we should change it. It should say spend this much if you're not a pedophile.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. So.
So if you spend $5, that's cool. You get all the bonus stuff. But you are a pedophile. You are a pedophile. If you spend nothing, I mean, come on. You're basically.
Yeah, you don't even get
Epstein.
A trial. So, yeah, we will change it, but for now it is called the pedophile tier, and you also get the bonus episodes, and then you can sleep at night for knowing that you're preventing pedophilia in America. And the $25 a month...
stops pedophilia completely, ends it worldwide. You get all the bonus episodes and all the sketches and whatever else we put out there, and on top of that, make t-shirts, which we're eventually going to do.
Yeah.
You'll get one of those.
Yes. Oh, yeah. Which we are actually working on doing, and I'm really excited about.
Yeah.
Now, there is one final tier, but this is only for one person, so it probably doesn't apply to you, listener, but...
Turn off the podcast now if you're not Tyler Perry.
If you're not Tyler Perry, turn off this fucking podcast.
This is only for Tyler Perry.
Only for Tyler Perry. There's a Tyler Perry tier. Now, that is $10,000 a month.
And that's to keep us quiet because we know what you did.
That is only for Tyler Perry. You get nothing, absolutely nothing extra.
You buy our silence.
So, Tyler Perry, you know what you did.
And all this money will go towards us living because currently we're having a tough time.
Truly,
affording.
I know.
I had an egg for
dinner today.
I've never
lived like this before. It's a little poetic, I think.
It's almost freeing, which is what I don't want to say because I want you to give us money. But
we just signed a lease on an apartment yesterday. We're moving in together officially. Boy, oh boy.
Uh-oh.
But
she got her way.
Oh, no.
Congratulations.
Fuck you. You know, he keeps saying congratulations to me, which I find.
You did it.
Shut up.
Good job.
Shut up. Fuck you, man.
I was saying congratulations to us. Okay. Like, I say it to you, and supposed to say it back to me instead of getting offended and hitting me.
I didn't hit you.
You hit. You
I hit,
hit
you with my mind.
No, you hit sometimes.
No,
you
I
know
don't.
You hit.
No, I don't. Anyway, absolutely not exaggerating at all, drained my life savings, which was not much to begin with. I say life savings to make it sound dramatic. It was like a few thousand bucks, but that was all I had in the world, and now it's gone.
So we can move into this crawl space.
Yeah, and I'm happy. Like it's a very small apartment, but it's in a really great neighborhood. Whatever. Anyway. We're poor.
Yeah, and if we do... Well, you don't start a Patreon until you're fucking, like, a very popular podcast.
Which we are, but as far as you know.
We can supplement our rent to some degree. That will mean eventually, someday,
like really?
Traveling, more live shows, you know.
Yeah, like really.
More time to record more bonus shit, make more stuff, make more content, you know.
Exactly. Yeah, anyway. Back to the pedophile talk. Back to the regularly scheduled pedophile conversation. Now that the housekeeping is out of the way.
I just watched that Lou Pearlman documentary, yes. Which we already...
Now, who did he pedophile and how much pedophiling?
What's that band that's like, I like girls with Abercrombie and Fitch?
LFO, of course.
LFO. Did you know he put that band together too?
No, I didn't.
He did fucking everything. He did like these Latin boy bands and
ooh.
Yeah, so he did Backstreet Boys, NSYNC,
yeah.
LFO,
O-Town,
Aaron Carter,
right?
O-Town. There's a couple girl groups that never really took off. He made Making the Band, that was him.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. So he pedophiled LMAFO and
LFO.
But they weren't. But I don't think he's a pedophile. I think they were of age. I think they were adults. But it doesn't matter. It's crazy to watch a documentary where like his pedophiling is like the least of his
of
whatever
his, like,
offenses.
Yeah,
he was just the biggest con artist of all time. He was just unbelievable at scamming people.
He sounded like he was really good at it. Like at some point, it's impressive.
He's like a Bernie Madoff type of guy.
Plus, like, the Catch Me If You Can guy.
Yeah.
With some of the schemes.
He was cool as hell. Lou, I mean, if you have to rank the pedophiles.
Yeah. Lou Pearlman is king pedophile. He's like...
No. Jeffrey Epstein is the king of all pedophiles.
Okay.
But Lou Pearlman was the coolest one.
Okay. Okay. But he's in jail now? Oh,
he's dead. He died in jail.
Oh, what was he doing?
What do you mean?
Did he get shanked or something?
I think he just ate steak every day for his entire life.
Yeah, he was.
He went to Peter Luger's all the time. Yeah. He would take all the boy bands out, mm-hmm. and they were like, he loved us so much. Turns out they were paying for all the food.
He was extorting the hell out of them. How much money did he steal? Like, so all these bands, he took pretty much all their money, right? And then they became famous. The famous ones, anyway, became famous after him.
No, they were all already very, very, very famous.
Oh, I'm sorry. I meant like...
Like the first however many albums from the Backstreet Boys and NSYNC were all under the Pearlman umbrella. And he took all their money from those albums. And then they sued him and then made all their money on the following albums.
Okay. How did they not know at the time? Like... How long did it take for them to realize, hey, we're not getting any money?
They were like number one on all the charts,
yeah.
And they were taken out to dinner,
yeah.
And they brought all their family, and he told them this was the day they were going to get paid,
yeah.
And they were all like trying to calculate in their mind, like, I could get a check for $1 million today at this dinner, and they all sat down and opened their envelopes, and they all got $10,000, and they did the math. That's making less hourly than you would if you were a low-ranking employee at Starbucks.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. And up until this point, they adored him. They thought he was the best.
Oh, my God.
Because he was like a big... These guys, these pedophiles, they all say the same thing about him. They're like big kids, you know?
Yeah.
You can relate to them on like a friend level if you're 16.
But he wasn't even pedophiling
that much. Yeah, see, I don't know. They didn't really linger on the pedophile stuff.
Yeah.
It seemed like people were mad at him about other reasons.
Well, yeah, he extorted more than he pedophiled.
But also, like I said, I don't know how old these guys were at the time, you know?
LFO. I don't know. I
like
remember.
Early 20s, right?
No.
Yeah. I think they were all at least over 18.
Okay.
For sure. I think they mentioned that at one point because one of the moms or somebody was like, you know, it was concerning that they were staying over there with him, but they were all over 18. So what are you going to do? I think he was just gay. And he had the power and wealth to kind of collect hot young twinks and be around them all the time. For the most part, I don't think he fucked with anybody. It was just that one guy, that one time. I don't know. As far as the documentary wasn't that good.
That is so funny. I mean, think about it. He's surrounded all the time by like every member of Backstreet Boys, every member of NSYNC, O-Town, like 98 Degrees, whatever. And then the one guy he ever tries anything with is that doofus from LFO.
Yeah, well, that guy was living with him.
Okay.
I think that's part of it. Dude, the way he came at him is hilarious, though.
What happened?
He goes, he comes in and he's all frustrated and he's like punching things. He's like punching the table.
Wait,
like,
this is Lou Pearlman?
Yeah, he goes, oh my, I just got off the phone with this guy. I forget where it is. Like some other country. He's like, I just got off the phone with this guy. You won't even believe this, all right? He says he wants to do a big deal with us. And I hate to tell you this, but he says he has to touch a penis. And
no.
I don't like it, but you know, we got to prepare you for this because we need this money. And you know what? I actually, when I was in college, I minored in psychology. So I'm going to help you get through this mentally too. So we're going to practice on each other so that you're prepared.
My God.
Isn't that amazing?
What? That's so fucked up. That's so like, oh my, wait, and what was this guy's response? Was this guy actually in the documentary?
He was not in the documentary, but they played the audio of him on Stern telling this story.
Okay.
It was really, like I said, poorly made because they played what I just told you. They played you that much of the story. And okay, you're like, well, what happened next? Did they touch each other's penises? How old were they? How old was he at the time?
They don't even tell you what happens after that?
No.
He didn't. You don't know if he turned it down or not?
No. The story is really focused.
What the fuck?
Really focused on the fraud. For the most part. And they just touch
a
little bit. Like the Backstreet Boys are like, yeah, sometimes he would come in and be like, show me your abs. You got to stay in shape if you want to impress these girls. Or he would give us like shoulder rubs or whatever.
What?
But then they kind of did away with that. And Aaron Carter, who looks horrible.
He's on meth, I think.
Yeah, something happened to him. But he is like vehemently defending Lou Pearlman.
Yeah.
Like, to say that he was a pedophile is terrible. You guys need to stop. He starts crying.
It's like, how are you defending him at this point? Like, okay, say you're really close with this guy and he never pedophiled you.
Mm-hmm.
But you find out that he extorted all these people, that he's stolen so much money, that he's a fraud. Do you really go, and like, that's all proven to be true. Are you really going to go like, ah, he's still a good guy?
Well, this is a specific case. I think Aaron Carter didn't have a dad. None of these guys had a dad. This is the through line for every boy band, every Instagram model boy, every like kind of soft idol, like teen idol.
Yeah.
They do this stuff because there's no dad being like,
But
stop making faces at yourself in the fucking mirror.
Justin Bieber had a dad, a bad one, but a
Justin Bieber's got like a teen dad.
Yeah,
like not in age, but like, you know,
in like
behaves as if he's a teen.
Yeah, they're like buddies. Anyway,
I think Aaron Carter really was essentially raised by Lou Pearlman.
Okay, yeah.
And saw him as a father figure. And then as far as all the fraud stuff is concerned, I think Aaron Carter is just
able to
out to lunch mentally.
Yeah. Their family seems so fucked up.
Yeah.
They're just like, I don't know, beating each other up outside of their trailer.
Oh, like that reality show that was on?
Yeah.
Remember that? That was great.
Why do I know their mom? Like,
she's like a stage mom. Yeah. I don't know.
God.
Like a Lohan type of situation.
Yeah. All these, it's crazy how every once in a while you'll pluck like some real gnarly like white trash people out of obscurity and then they become millionaires, but they never lose that, you know,
yeah,
who they are.
And they always take their second born and try to make them a star too.
Yeah,
and it
yeah.
never works out.
Yeah.
And they're all like, what's Ashley Simpson up to? Or like,
I used to kind of like Ashley Simpson. That was like the closest I think people got to like, like, remember Jamie Lynn Spears, too? Like,
yeah.
Those two, Ashley Simpson and Jamie Lynn Spears, had a little bit of a career.
Well, Jamie Lynn Spears got pregnant.
Yeah.
And then she had to go away.
Oh, wait. Didn't they say, who did they say was the father? Isn't there some conspiracy that the father is like...
Lou Pearlman. Can you believe that?
No. The father is that guy from Nickelodeon who was like a mega pedophile.
No.
That's what people have said.
See, I don't even know much about that whole situation.
We need a documentary on that. We need an expert
in to talk to us about that. Yeah.
Do we know anyone who works at Nickelodeon?
We know a ton of people that work in Nickelodeon. But I don't think they're going to come on and like incriminate themselves.
I know, that was the joke. Yeah, I wish they would. But yeah, no, I would love to watch a documentary on that guy.
They all look the same. This is what we're
talking about, guys. Subscribe to the $10 pedophile level so that we can do the research and we can stop pedophilia.
I don't know what we're going to do for these bonus episodes, but we could do something like that. Like, that's the guest episodes where we bring somebody on.
Ooh.
The tone's a little bit different. Nobody's talking about squirting or whatever.
Whoa. We're not going to rule out squirting.
I know, but we could really get to the bottom of some shit.
No. I'd like
investigative journalists.
I'd like to have a more
John Stossel style.
I'd like to have a more like thematic bonus episodes for the Patreon. But don't forget why people listen to this in the first place.
Because it's loosey goosey nonsense.
It's not how clever we are and how much we research. It's because I'm at a loss. I think it's because we're funny.
Sure. Well, here's the thing that you're forgetting is that nobody does listen to this.
Stop telling people
I know.
And it's not true. It's not true.
You're the piece of shit.
You're the piece of shit.
I break up and it's over. The podcast is over. Right, no, well, you don't get
good
to.
Luck, then you're out $4,500.
No, whatever. We'll split the apartment down the middle.
Anyway, guys, we're back together.
It's something we can try out, though. A different
type of podcast.
And if it's, for the time being, only monthly,
yeah,
then whatever. If people don't like it, they can just stick with the regular free one.
Right. That's true. And also, as of right now, it's for 4 people. That would be fun. I mean, I certainly hope more people sign up for the Patreon.
If it's only for... Because, like I said, we don't have a ton of listeners. We do fine. But if only a handful of people subscribe to the Patreon, we can just start using people's first and last names.
Yeah, it'll be filthy.
It'll be filthy, but we'll bring everybody like characters, you know?
Yeah.
Because right now, there's 4 people... We should be mentioning those people by name in the bonus episode.
Yeah, it'll be like a little, almost like private.
Ooh, we could have people call in too.
Yeah. How? Like,
maybe not call in live, but we will give a phone number to the people that subscribe and they'll be able to call in and leave a message.
Leave a message, yeah, and we'll play it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I would love that.
Yeah, as of right now, everybody who is subscribed could call in and leave a message.
Yeah.
And we would still have 45 minutes left of podcasting to do.
Have you seen lately, this is something I wanted to talk about, the CEO of Away, have you heard about this? Away is one of those companies, those like millennial companies that blew up. It's like you see Subway ads all the time. It's like very soft lighting. It's for luggage.
It's like pinks and
it's a solid color, like blues. Hard shell suitcases, and it's like luxury luggage for
trans people.
Yeah, for like affordable. But no, it's like it's just like affordable luxury. So it's like basically making people feel like they're rich when they're not. I don't know. Anyway,
yeah, there's the toothbrushes.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
Same type of thing.
Exactly. And so apparently the CEO of Away is like this 29, 30-year-old psychopath who was working people to death 7 days a week, monitoring their private Slacks and firing people and screaming at them when work wasn't getting done and like, we're not getting the numbers out, and rewarding people. Like the best you could do was like get... when they were working extra hours, they were having their holidays taken away. Like people were like at the airport about to go home for the holidays and had to like go back to the office. At that point, I don't know why you would listen. But anyway, I may be exaggerating, but it was brutal, and they exposed her and she had to step down, which is,
it's a woman. It's a girl boss.
Oh, you weren't expecting a woman?
I was expecting a
No,
it's well, a, now that I know she's okay. a woman, I think that she's black.
Okay, well, she's not, but...
that's interesting that you would say that. To me, she's still black.
Well, she's not, so...
okay.
Well, Ian, she's just not. No. Wait, what was... Oh, I just wanted to get into a discussion of, like, if you're out there and you're listening, don't ever let anyone make you feel... like their company is important or sure. that like or that the job you're doing is so important, like that you need to be passionate about the brand. It's all brainwashing so that they can make money and right. only they can make money.
I just saw, and I've said this to you a million times, but I just saw an interview where Louis C.K. was saying this thing that always pisses me off about how no matter what your job is, you should do it to the best of your ability.
No.
And you should, you know, if you're a janitor and you're making fucking $4 an hour, those floors should sparkle because you should take pride in your work. And that is all fucking propaganda
yeah.
for corporate cunts
Absolutely.
To give you nothing and make you do all the work.
Yeah. Are you kidding me? If you're a janitor, you should shit on the floor and rub it back in because nobody's paying you enough.
Yeah.
Although I've actually heard that custodians in New York City make a ton of money. They make like $100,000 a year.
Sure.
80 plus.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. It's just the example that popped into my head. Like if you're working at Dunkin' Donuts or you're, yes. you know, a fast food employee, if I go to a fast food restaurant, mm-hmm. I don't expect good service because yeah. it's fucking slave wages.
Oh, man. I know we've had this conversation already and I hope we didn't have it on the podcast. This is so fucking maddening not knowing. But Chick-fil-A. Whenever I go to Chick-fil-A, they are always the nicest, like, go out of their way to make sure you're taken care of, friendliest, like, employees, and I hate it.
Well, that's because if you do a bad job at Chick-fil-A, you go to hell.
Yeah.
There's a difference. There's higher stakes at Chick-fil-A.
Okay. It's just, like, it makes me feel so bad that somebody higher up, like, some corporate... trainer like came down and made them all sit through something. It was like, now always smile when someone yells at you that you forgot their barbecue right. sauce. And it's like, no, you shouldn't have to do that. You should be pissed off that you have to work this job.
What nobody tells you about
spit in my food and spit in my mouth. I yeah, deserve it.
I'm in here.
Yeah.
I'm bad.
Yes.
I'm a bad person.
Yes. We should all be going in with our heads bowed saying I'm sorry between every word. Yeah. And
we should be at a farmer's market
scurrying away
buying that food
like
we
the
shouldn't
rats
be...
that we are.
Yeah, these chickens are tortured. Yeah. They pull out their fingernails and they blast Mariah Carey at them or whatever. These are John McCain chickens.
I saw
we shouldn't be eating them.
I saw an...
I don't know.
I saw an article today that they're manufacturing toilets to be uncomfortable, to increase productivity so that employees don't spend too much time on them.
What?
Yes. They're like leaning down towards the ground at an angle and like, I don't know. I'm at some point, what are they going to put spikes in them or something? I don't know. It's just like, so that after they're calculating it and beta testing so that like after a couple minutes, you won't want to sit on it anymore because
it's uncomfortable. Is this a specific place? Specific restaurant?
No, like
Walmarts?
This isn't fast food. This is like offices, like everywhere. They want toilets to be like this everywhere for employees. Isn't that so fucked up?
Jeez. That's crazy.
So then you don't waste
time. These are the people that we're sucking up to.
So imagine if you're sick, right? And you're like shitting your brains out. And you're like... super uncomfortable sliding off the toilet because time is money and we need you back out there on the floor.
Also, what nobody tells you is that at most jobs, you can do very little and get by.
Oh, yeah.
They all this like, you know, work as hard as you can, be the first one in, the last one out, that is rarely rewarded.
Yeah.
And if you do nothing, you're going to get probably the same salary.
Yeah.
For, you know, the same amount of time. And if you are rewarded, you get kicked up the ladder, usually more responsibility, the same amount of pay or very little increase in pay. It's just you know, a quick race to the grave.
I like my job now. I think I like doing a good job at it because I know how to do it, and it's I understand it, straightforward, whatever. But it's always the shittier companies that really force you to try to be passionate.
Yeah.
Like, I worked for Urban Outfitters when I first moved to New York. I worked at the Urban Outfitters on Fifth Avenue, right across from the library and Bryant Park. And they were fucking cunts. They were like, I went to that job every single... I was driving from Pennsylvania. I went to that job every day, on time. I clocked out on time. I did my job. And then when it was time for our, like, review, whatever, I forget how long. I was only there a few months. But when it was time for our, like, employee review, I was like, this is awesome. I'm going to get such a good review because I'm such a good employee. And my till is always even. I was a cashier and whatever. And they were like... Yeah, so we just, like, feel like you aren't passionate about the brand. Like, where do you even see yourself? But, like, when I worked there, we were all, like, the lowest of the low, and everyone someday wanted to be, like, the manager of the flagship or whatever, and that was their life goal, to, like, wear stupid wide brim hat and, like, a crocheted floor length vest.
Isn't that scary how that corporate propaganda can sink into your brain and you really believe that that's your goal in life? It's fucking not.
It was crazy
because you've been there and because you've been around it and these people are speaking to you as if you should want that, you eventually kind of absorb it.
It was so weird to be in an environment, I know you've experienced this too, where, like, it's kind of refreshing when you don't care but everyone else does, and you look around like, oh, you guys want this so bad, what? And I had to tell the woman who was like an assistant manager, like, I was like, no, I don't know, you're paying me like $10 an hour, I don't care about this company, I'm just trying to pay my rent. And how is that a bad thing? How are you taking all of my time and not giving me practically anything in return, and you're still mad at me? You still want more? Are you kidding me? I don't know. I just didn't show up one day. I emailed them and I was like, hey, I don't work here anymore. Sorry.
Man, yeah. And you know what's a super, that you're saying, like, not caring? That actually is a superpower within your office wherever you work, because when you don't care, you carry yourself differently, and you can even almost fall upward in that regard.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
If you just, because then you're not the sheep that, they don't want you to be that manager at the flagship store. They want you to do enough work and be eager enough to please that you are the most productive salesperson right where you are,
and then
they'll
tease it enough so that you work as hard as possible because maybe someday they'll notice and promote you. And so it's always like a little bit of like, you're not passionate enough, and like, maybe if you do this and this, then you'll be moved up. And it's highly competitive, and so now everyone's killing each other to be the best fucking, what, I forget, they have the stupidest names for like these menial positions that don't mean anything. I'm like, I'm straightening up books with like shit emojis on the cover, and it's like how to adulting.com and like plastic.
The princess doesn't need to be saved in the end.
And you're like, woo! All this shit made in Thailand by slaves. Urban Outfitters, and I say this as someone who still fucking shops there, unfortunately, it's for rich people to LARP as poor people who go to thrift stores and like actually cultivate a style.
Yeah.
It's like, I don't know.
Another clothes like looks good and then falls apart 3 weeks later.
Yeah, yeah.
Because they're all cheap as hell, made in Taiwan.
Yeah.
You know, the other thing about that, being in that situation where people kind of look down at you because of your work ethic, if you find yourself kind of alone in your life, like you're driving in from Pennsylvania, and you know, you're probably don't have like a ton of people that have your back in New York that you can like hang out with or whatever. Yeah. Or when I first moved here, or when I first moved to college, I would find myself in these jobs where I know that I should be disgusted by these people, disgusted by the corporate hierarchy and stuff. But once you enter this world, you are the unpopular kid because you're not trying to achieve. So you start, your self-esteem 100% hurts no matter what.
I hated it. It felt like high school all over again, and I was uncool because I didn't want to be a manager at an Urban Outfitters.
Yeah. Meanwhile, you shouldn't be there at all. You should be too cool to even be working there in the first place.
You know what?
You should be creating something. I think so many people are unhappy in their lives because they are stuck in these machines when they should be making something.
Yeah.
Doing something on their own.
Maybe.
Yang Gang.
Yang Gang. Mm-hmm. 2020. Sure.
Sorry. What were we going to say?
No, no. I'm saying like truly like I'm getting so tired of politics. Klobuchar. Sure. Tom Steyer.
Well, the only reason I say Yang is because his whole thing is if you had $1,000 a month and you could take care of some of your bills, you might pursue something that you care more about. Well, also because of automation.
That $1,000 a month thing, though, that sounds great, but don't you, knowing the world we live in, if that were implemented tomorrow, employers would just find a way to cut another thing, be like, oh, you already have the $1,000 a month, so I get to pay you less now.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. It would.
But that's going to happen regardless, and is happening. You talk about fast food. Apparently, I haven't been in years, but McDonald's is just computers now.
Yeah.
You just walk in and you type your shit in. So it's happening either way. If we got universal basic income, it might happen quicker.
Mm-hmm.
But the destination is the same. We're all going to be out of work. I mean, I'm out of work because of a computer.
Yeah, a robot. Yeah. My job could certainly be done by a computer.
It will be. That's why.
Patreon.com/suicidepact. You know what? I'm going to allow something just for this week only. If you're listening to this and you are like, God damn it, I would love to sign up for the $10,000 a month package, but unfortunately I'm not Tyler Perry. You may. Just for this week, I think that's allowed. After next week, it's for Tyler Perry only, but we'll make
an
exception.
You better pay every month, Tyler Perry. Don't miss a payment or we're going to tell everybody what you did.
Yeah.
Stop.
I'm sorry. I can't stop thinking about those toilets bringing us down.
Oh, right.
I love how it's like we're all at work sitting around talking about it and laughing, but it's like, oh, my God. I don't
need. Oh, you're joking about it at work?
Yeah. And it is funny because we're all just sitting there and it's like, but if you really think about it, it's like so fucked up.
You can't think about, if you have a job that you don't give a shit about, you can't think about it too much because all of a sudden you just become aware of the fact that enormous chunks of your life aren't yours to do what you want with.
That's why we won't bring it up. Don't think about it at all.
That's why wealthy people are so fascinating and scary and bizarre, you know? They don't have to worry about taking a bus or spending time doing stuff they don't want to do.
That's crazy.
The fact that they want to govern us is extra alarming.
Here's how you should live your lives.
Yeah, like you don't fucking know.
Weren't you just saying that you think that rich people don't want universal health care because then clinics and doctor's offices would be too crowded and they wouldn't be able to get speedy health care?
Yeah. Well, also I think that rich people get off on the fact that they get preferential treatment.
Yeah.
So part of that is being able to be seen by a doctor whenever they want.
Yeah.
If they're not special, if things start to even out,
imagine
that's going to hurt their self-esteem, you know? It's going to make them feel bad.
Thinking that way, that's so fucked up.
That's the argument against...
That's our thing. They don't get that.
Yeah, kind of. I mean, that's the argument against... free college too, or eliminating college debt. Although you can understand that a little bit more because some people went into debt for college and then worked their asses off to pay back that debt. So
right.
Now they're like, how come other people get off scot-free? But you start thinking about stuff that way, it's kind of insidious. It's selfish.
Yeah.
It's, you know,
I get that because, you know, yeah, like you said, if you worked really hard, like I paid off my student loans in a way that I would rather have not. It's, I don't want to get into it, but like I did pay off all my student loans.
You came into some money that could have really helped you at a certain point in your life, but all that money had to go towards your debt.
Yeah.
And now they're eliminating debt and you're like, what the fuck, a little bit. You're allowed to have that those feelings. You should sit in those feelings. But the fact that you're going to make it, I told you this story. When I was in high school, I was on the swim team. And when I was a freshman, the seniors used to beat the shit out of us with kickboards as like an initiation.
Yeah.
And it was horrible. We used to have to line up and get the shit kicked out of us. And then as every class advanced, so when the juniors became seniors, they beat the shit out of the freshmen, the incoming freshmen.
Yeah.
It's like, I had to go through it. You have to go through that. Mm. And then when I became a junior, this kid who was a year older than me, it was time to beat the shit out of all the freshmen. He was like, let's not do that. We didn't like that. You know, just because we went through it, they don't have to go through it, you know?
Yes.
And I always thought that was so like adult and interesting. That's and incredible. Thoughtful.
It honestly takes a very special person to step outside and think like that. And then you go, oh, of course.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. It's like, well, we all had to be initiated this way. It's what makes you a man to, you know, go into deep into debt and then try to pull yourself out or get the shit kicked out of you. It's like, let's just not do that to the next generation.
That's beautiful.
Whether or not they thank you for it, it's like...
No, but still having some... Because some people are holding on to that anger going, I had this shit beaten out of me and the only way to complete the cycle or to feel better is to beat the shit out of somebody else and then leave them scarred and wash my hands of it. But
that
breaking the cycle, somebody... I love that.
We can also, as millennials, watch Fox News and see... boomers or people even older talk about how they used to have to do such and such thing, therefore we should shut the fuck up and do it. And you know, even the fact that like when you paid off your student loans, they were probably, you probably didn't have to take out as much money as people do now. It's probably just increasing. And that's when you watch older people on Fox News, you go, well, it's more difficult what we're doing right now. We can't pull ourselves up by our bootstraps. And they're like, no, we did it. You should be able to do it.
Yeah,
so you saying, like, I paid off my student loans. People, young people right now must be like, well, maybe my student loan is even more than what you had to deal with in this short period of time.
More debt, less money than before.
Yeah. Less jobs, less opportunities, more automation. Consider that. Be considerate.
It's so fucking scary. I mean, that's why I love this podcast and some of the things we're doing creatively just to have an outlet. Like yesterday on the exact, I'm not exaggerating for effect, on the exact route that I walk from Subway to my office every single day and that I have for years, a woman was hit by just a piece of building. On 49th Street, it just fell off a building, hit her on the head, and killed her. And it was just a couple hours after I did it. And I was just like, come on. I mean, that could have been me. It could have been any of us just like, just wiped out, just walking to work. I don't know. It's just, it's terrifying and inspiring. And I want to be a good person and not make kids pay a lot of money for school. And I want to tell squirting jokes and
not have a fucking job at Urban Outfitters where
no one should have to work at Urban Outfitters.
Right.
Take all the robots to Urban Outfitters and put a fucking dumb tunic on the robot and a stupid choker and it'll be like, I just don't think you're passionate about the brand.
You know those robots that are in grocery stores that have the big googly eyes on them and they're fucking terrifying?
Yeah, you saw one in my hometown. It was chasing you.
I saw online that somebody took 4 soup cans and put it around the robot and it was like sensing them and couldn't leave. And the guy was like, yeah, fuck you, robot. And I want to do that every time I see one of those now.
Oh, man. That's fun that we can toy with them until they murder us.
Yeah. Or we merge with them.
Sure. Well, I heard Pete Holmes say this, and this might be true for us one day, that like he's recorded so many podcasts, so many hours and hours of his personality that he's like, he's good to go for like uploading a.
That's so stupid. I don't understand that. Like, I've heard people say that. The way I communicate is not the way I think. You can't recreate me by my like shitty ability to fucking make noises come out of my face.
It wouldn't be for you. It would be for your for surviving loved ones. And it would be the way you talk.
Like, I see.
And interact with people.
You make
people.
An algorithm that can like mimic my speech.
And it would learn, it would learn how you react to things and how you talk and respond. Like if it's sophisticated enough, it would be able to just like replicate your personality.
Boo.
I know. That's so scary. I would shut that thing off after you died.
That's awful.
I don't even have a robot talking back to me.
Right. That's not why you're with me.
Right.
Not for the personality.
It's the dick.
Yeah, it's the big old...
Big dick energy.
Big dick energy. Do you want to wrap it up?
Yeah, let's wrap it up.
Do I have oh, yeah.
Was this funny or plugs. Just depressing?
I don't think it was funny. I'll say it wasn't funny.
Okay, well, we've had a... we were just in a mood, I guess. I'm sorry, folks.
I'm in Frederick, Maryland at the Cellar Door on Sunday, December 22nd at 7 p.m. Opening for Dan St. Germain.
That's awesome.
Come out to that.
We've got some Maryland listeners. You know, by the way, Ian says nobody listens to us, and he just means, like, you know, he's a pessimistic little bitch, but... we do have a...
No, go on. No, I'm listening.
We do have like a sizable number of listeners that I love and appreciate.
Well, I'm just, you know, we're in the community today. In New York, and there's some people that are just taken off for whatever reason. Their shit goes viral for whatever fucking reason.
Right.
I can't get to the bottom of it. I sure as fuck can't figure it out. I've listened. I've tried to listen. My ears and nose started bleeding.
Birds
certainly
dropped
not
dead out
good.
Of the sky.
You know, so you compare yourself to everybody.
I just want the people who are listening to know that they are one of a handful and they're appreciated. Many handfuls, you might say.
Yeah, like a C cup.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay,
well,
so Frederick, Maryland?
Yeah, I think that's right. I'm double checking. But if it's wrong,
door.
I'll
it'll be on your
go
Instagram.
Back and edit it.
Oh, we have so many things. Okay, so our email is johnstossel@gmail.com. I'm still reading it. I have a couple to get back to right now, but you guys are great. Email us. Our Instagram is suicide.pack.pod. Our Patreon is patreon.com/suicidepact. Please help us out if you can. If not, hey, I understand more than anybody in the world.
Parkside Lounge every Friday at 7 p.m.
Yes. And next Friday, December 27th, we're co-headlining at the Atlantic City Comedy Club. If you live in and around Atlantic City, come hang out with us because we'll be there all night partying.
All right. Hail Satan.
Okay. Hail Satan. Bye.